Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. We are reminded at every turn that tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's a uniquely American holiday. It was first observed on May the 30th, 1868. Now, depending on which historian you read, you'll find that there were some observances perhaps before that on a very limited scale. But it was first widely recognized then and celebrated. It was originally known as Decoration Day because it was a time that was set aside to honor the Civil War dead where decorations were placed upon their graves. After World War I, however, observances began to be had for everyone who had died in any war. 1971 was the year that Congress designated Memorial Day as a national holiday, so it hasn't been that long ago. That's what it's all supposed to be about, but what do people usually do on this weekend? They may go to picnics, they may go to the beach, they may have cookouts with their families, they do a lot of those things. But there are a few people that will actually try to remember those who have given their lives for their country. Cemeteries across the country, there will be services, scriptures will be read, prayers will be offered, taps will be played, and the people that are there will have a very poignant reminder of what it has taken not only to make this nation free, but to keep this nation free. I'm not saying that we ought to feel guilty about not attending one of those. All I'm trying to point out is that Memorial Day does not have the same impact today that it once did. And because people don't observe Memorial Day like they once did, it has lost a lot of the meaning that it once had. God knew that people tend to forget. God knew that people would lose the facts and the remembrances that were necessary to keep them on a straight and narrow path. Throughout biblical history, God has set in place a number of memorials. We remember the Passover memorial. It was something that the children of Israel were to observe every year, Exodus 12, verses 13 and 14. We know that it was important because it reminded them of what God had done for them in delivering them out of Egypt. But there was a spiritual significance. It was a type, the antitype being what Jesus did on the cross. He was becoming and going to become our memorial. We think about the 12 stones that were gathered by 12 men as they crossed the Jordan River. Joshua told them to take those stones and to set them up in the place where they encamped that night. And the reason was so that when people came there and they saw those stones and they started asking questions, that the answer would be, well, this is where God delivered us. This is where God brought us in to the promised land. It was a memorial. The days of unleavened bread, Exodus 13, 6 through 10. The God's promise to destroy Amalek. It was to be written in a book and kept as a memorial forever, Exodus 17, 9 through 14. And the list just goes on and on. The Old Testament is filled with memorials. When we come to the New Testament, we find the memorial of the Lord's Supper. We find the one that supersedes all the others in the frequency that it is observed and also in the significance that it has for every person who partakes. Most of the memorials that we noted from the Old Testament occurred annually, but this memorial happens every week. It is observed on a weekly basis. It is called the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20. It is called the breaking of bread, Acts 2 and verse 42, then Acts 20 and verse 7. It is called communion, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. It is called the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 21. It wasn't instituted by just anyone. It was instituted by Jesus Christ himself, Matthew 26, verses 26 through 29. On the last acceptable observance of the Old Testament Passover, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper as he met and observed the Passover there with his disciples. Again, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it was significant because Jesus observed that Passover, which was typical of what he was about to do, to become our Passover, Passover for our sins. This morning we want to consider the significance for just a few moments of this great memorial, the Lord's Memorial Day. The Lord's Memorial Day respects Christ because it respects his position. He's the creator of all things. In the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is our creator. In Colossians 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and created for him. And he is before all things, and by him do all things consist." Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Paul said, because of this, he said, let me reason, understand this. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. One translation says, thought it not something to be grasped. And that's kind of the idea, isn't it? Jesus was willing to leave heaven and come to the earth. He could have said, well, no, I like it here. Why would I go and live for 30-something years in this earth? And why would I be rejected of my own people? And why would I be nailed to a cross? But he didn't look at it that way. He loved us too much. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in likeness of men, and was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, when we think about the Lord's Memorial Day, we assemble to worship on the first day of the week. We come to worship God the Father, but we also worship the Lord Jesus Christ because of who he is. Without him, we would not be here. And so we remember his position, but we also remember his provision. 1 Corinthians 10, once again. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, he took also the cup. You go back to the night when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and listen to what he said then in Matthew 26. I'll begin at verse 26. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink you all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Paul said in Romans 5, verse 6, beginning, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." When we think about the cross and we think about his body and we think about the blood that was shed, we need to think about what it meant. That he provided for us. He provided eternal salvation. We need to think about the pattern that he set in place. Jesus, when he set up this act of worship, gave thanks for each element of the Lord's Supper separately. And that's why that when we observe, we follow that pattern. We give thanks. We notice that Jesus gave thanks for each element, and that's what we do. We note that he gave thanks for the bread first and for the fruit of the vine second. That's what we do. We pray to the Father, and we thank the Father for being able to assemble around the Son's table, because it is the Son's table. He is the one who died. It is his body and his blood that we remember. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, Paul said, "Giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." We're grateful for what God has done for us and for what Jesus has done for us at the cross. The Lord's memorial also, though, remembers. It remembers the person, going back to 1 Corinthians 11. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." We're not thinking about, we're not thinking about the two thieves that were hanging on the crosses beside him. We're thinking about Jesus. We're thinking about what he did. But more than that, we're thinking about the price that he paid. The institution of the Lord's Supper, this memorial that we observe, is a perpetual reminder that we're saved by the blood of Christ. And when we partake of the emblems of which we will partake in just a moment, we're reminded of his body that died on the cross. And we're reminded of his blood that is shed for us. God wants us to keep that memory alive. Why do you think that Jesus instituted that memorial of the Lord's Supper? And why do you think the New Testament church observed it on a weekly basis, every first day of the week? God gave us that memorial for a reason. He knows that we're prone to forget, that we get busy, that we get bored. And so he gave us a memorial, a perfect memorial. But we also find that the Lord's memorial reminds us and remembers the penalty that comes to those who do not partake appropriately. We read that a moment ago. The point is that our minds are to be cleared of mundane cares of the world. We're not to be thinking about the ball game yesterday or the ball game this afternoon or the ball game tomorrow night or what we're going to have for lunch or who said something that hurt our feelings or whatever it might be. Our minds are to be focused upon the cross. We are to be discerning the Lord's body. What does that mean? To be thinking about, to be meditating upon the body and the blood that was given for us. In chapter 11 of verse 28, Paul said, "But let a man examine himself." One translation says, "Prove himself." And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The word "examine" there means to prove and to try, to check, to think. If we just take the bread and it goes on by and we don't take the time to think about what it means, we're eating and drinking damnation to ourselves, Paul said. Paul said, you need to think about what you're doing. Examine yourself. Pay attention to what you're doing. Literally ask yourself the question, am I meditating on the body and the blood of Christ while I'm partaking of the emblems? We must keep the memory of Christ. Some do not partake because they do not feel worthy. Verses 27 through 29, he said worthily. He didn't say worthy. There's none of us here that's worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. He's not talking about personal worth. He's talking about the practice itself. How we partake. Are we partaking by meditating upon the Lord's body and his blood, discerning the Lord's body, he says. Some people find it helpful to read scripture while partaking of the Lord's Supper. And that's why we put scriptures on the screen. We put the passages there, so if a person wanted to read that, that's fine. There are other passages about the crucifixion that maybe, you know, you could read while you're partaking to help direct your mind to the cross. Some people have taken certain songs in our song book and that talk about the cross and read that song as they're partaking of it to help their mind focus to do everything possible to shut out all of the distractions and to focus our minds on that about which we should be thinking. How sad would it be, though, if we not only were not paying attention ourselves, but we were doing something to distract others? Writing notes, giggling, laughing, doing different things. I was in another state one time. I was in a worship service, and there were some teenagers in the back of the auditorium. I'm thankful we don't have teenagers like that here. We have good young men and women. There were teenagers on the back pew that had brought in their burgers and their fries. During the Lord's Supper, they were laughing and making a lot of commotion. People couldn't concentrate. They couldn't focus their minds on the body and the blood. God forbid that we should do that. Because we cause another person to eat and drink damnation to their souls because of what we're doing. There are emergencies. A person may have to get up and walk out of the building. A person may have something from a physical standpoint that happens that will prevent them from being able to partake on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening if they miss the morning service. But our goal should be to take care of our own business, to take care of our own thoughts, to properly discern the Lord's body ourselves, and to be quiet in such a way that others can do the same thing. We allow them to do it. It's one thing to personally disdain the blood of Christ, but it's another thing to become a stumbling block for someone else. Listen to what Jesus said about it in Matthew 18 and verse 6. But whosoever shall offend, the American Standard Version of 1901 says, uses the word cause. Whoso shall cause one of these little ones which believe on me to stumble, it were better that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of occasions of stumbling, for it must need be that the occasions come, but woe to that man by which the occasion comes. We need to make sure that we're partaking of the Lord's Supper right. We need to be discerning the body and the blood of Christ, thinking about, meditating upon what happened. I've known of people who have said, you know, when I partake of the bread, I'm thinking about the pain and suffering of Jesus, and I take my thumbnail and I just kind of dig it down into my arm to make it real to me that this wasn't just imaginary, that he suffered, that it was pain. We have carpal tunnel surgeries because of carpal tunnel syndrome from time to time. But can you imagine a spike being nailed right through that carpal tunnel area as the pain explodes in your brain? That's what Jesus went through for us. And every time we need to partake of that bread, I'm not telling you to take your thumbnail and push it into your wrist, but I'm just telling you there are ways to avoid the distractions when sometimes they will be there and focus our minds. So the Lord's memorial reminds us of the penalty of taking what Christ has done for granted. But it remains also. It proclaims, verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he come." It's the purpose. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, disciples met up on the first day of the week to break bread. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20. The Lord's Supper is observed in a spirit of hope every Lord's Day. You stop and think about what's going to happen tomorrow. People are going to have to go to a cemetery to observe Memorial Day for those who are dead and who are buried and who are lying in that cemetery. The Lord's Supper is an appropriate memorial because Jesus is not in a cemetery. We don't go to a cemetery to assemble. We assemble in a place of worship as we do every Sunday to worship the Lord. Not only does it proclaim, but it promotes. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, "This cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That word communion there means to distribute or fellowship. It means we're having fellowship in doing this. It's the same word translated fellowship in Acts 2 and verse 42. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayer. All five elements of the worship of the Lord's church are found in Acts 2 and verse 42. That word fellowship or communion is the same word translated that way in both places. When we look at that and think about it, it lets us know that the Lord's Supper is a communion. It's a fellowship. It's something that we do together. It binds us to Christ, 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 17. And it binds us to one another, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. Well, this was a problem that was a central problem to the church at Corinth. It appears that they had developed a unique kind of worship service and a unique problem developed because of it. Every Sunday in Corinth, they had a potluck dinner followed by the Lord's Supper. The only problem was if you didn't have a pot, you were out of luck. We might say it this way: the rich brought their steaks and the poor brought their soup and nobody shared. That was the problem. And Paul says God has already judged you for that. You're not able to observe the Lord's Supper properly. That's what he's saying there. He said in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 11, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Some translations say you cannot eat the Lord's Supper. They could not do it acceptably because they had abused it. They had prefaced it with a common meal and then divided the whole church during that meal. So how could they commune together in observing the Lord's Supper? Paul said you can't do it. Because of their arrogance and their selfishness, Paul told them God had already judged. He said, "Many of you are sick." He said, "Some of them have died spiritually, of course." And this is the background, part of the background for why Paul warned them to examine themselves carefully before taking the Lord's Supper. According to Matthew 26 and verse 29, since the establishment of the kingdom of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost, our Lord has been spiritually present when his disciples come together to participate in the communion. I know you know that, but I hope you'll think about that this morning. That we're not only communing with one another, we're communing with the Lord. And that spiritually, he's present. And he knows our heart. And he knows what we're thinking. And he knows if we're discerning his body. We need to be serious about this blessed memorial that God has given us. Well, finally, it preserves. It preserves our memory of his great gift. It reminds us of his second coming, which renews our hope, something that we can't do in a cemetery tomorrow. When we partake of the Lord's memorial, we recognize our enduring dependence upon Him in life and our absolute dependence upon Him in death and in eternity. Yes, maybe Jesus knew that we would have a tendency to forget. Maybe He understood that sometimes we just get carried away with our holidays and with our celebrations, with our ceremony, our ceremonies and our services, and we simply forget about the fact that He died for us. And so wanting to ensure that His disciples never did forget, and of course us implied, He gave us a fitting memorial, the Lord's Supper. It's observed every first day of the week, and it respects the pattern that was given by Jesus. It remembers the horror of His death, but the blessing that is found therein through the sacrifice of His body and the shedding of His blood for the remission of our sins. The Lord's Supper is our memorial that looks back to the cross and looks back to the blood that was shed, not to the battlefield, but on the cross. Jesus died for our freedom from sins. I'm thankful for those who have fought and who have died for our country. We had people from this community that fall into that category. I think we all have family, whether it be distant or near, that fall into that category. We're here this morning unmolested and able to assemble for worship and to worship the Lord without fear because of them. And we do need to remember. And we do need to be grateful. But as great a sacrifice as they made, and as dear as they are to our hearts for doing it, Jesus died that we might live forever. What a blessing it is to be able to say, I know that I'm saved. I know that I am forgiven of my sins because Jesus died on that cross. And I can remember the suffering that He endured for all of us. I can remember the blood that He shed that paid the price for all of us. What a blessing it is to be able to say, I'm a Christian. Can you say that this morning? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Then why would you deprive yourself of the blessings that He offers through faith, the repentance that He enjoins upon us, the confession of our faith in Him, and to be immersed in water for the remission of our sins, and to live a faithful life knowing that when we make mistakes, God will forgive if we seek His forgiveness. Tomorrow we're going to be reminded of the blessings we have for being Americans. But it doesn't compare in any way to the blessing we have of being a Christian. If that blessing is not yours this morning, why not change that? Would you come as we stand and as we sing?